Blog Talk Radio.
March 16th edition of Real American Man on Blog Talk Radio. It is 9 p.m. Central Time, and I am your host, Billy Crocker, and today we'll be discussing Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, where he gives five charges, and we will be discussing them all. We'll be out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. And there are several other scriptures that we'll be going over as well. You know, thank you so much for coming into the show today. For listening in, we would love to hear from you if you're a live listener today, and if you have any questions, we will do more of a intentional part of the show for callers to call in, and I'll let you know whenever that's going to take place. We'll probably do that last 10 minutes of the show if you've got any questions or anything like that, but you're more than welcome to call in anytime. Guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Once again, guest call-in is 323-642-1089. Couple things to update you on. One of those is our website, realamericanman.org. Once again, our website is realamericanman.org. From that website, you're going to be able to listen to these blogs, both live and archived versions of the blog. And also, you'll be able to connect to our Facebook and our Twitter account through that website. We sure do appreciate you listening in today. I'm very, very excited about today's show. The title of today's show is Act Like Men. And, you know, just in a broad overview of that title, and, you know, really, I guess if I really step back and I think about it, that is the whole point of this show. The broad topic of this entire point of Real American Man and my inspiration really came from this scripture. It's such a powerful scripture. It's this scripture, 1 Corinthians 16:13, and then, which I did on my very first show, You Are That Man, when I spoke about David and Bathsheba, when Nathan the prophet spoke to David and gave him the prophecy, the analogy, and David is disgusted by it, and Nathan says, "You are that man." And here Paul is telling the church at Corinth to act like men. There are several different translations and ways that that this verse is put. Some scripture says, to be courageous men. There are scriptures that say, quit you like men. I think that's the King James Version. And so, and basically what Paul is saying, whenever you really break it down into to what the context of it and everything else is to stand up, really, you know. It makes me think back to the days of a Slim Shady, right? You might remember some of those songs. Of course, that's really old school. It makes me think of, would the real Slim Shady please stand up, right? And that's kind of what Paul is saying here, is would the real men, would they stand up? And because, you know, just like today, and so clearly this is not a today problem, but it is a universal and throughout the generations problem, where we have this issue of an identity crisis among men. And, you know, and it stems from a lot of different things. And we could go into that, certainly, and we do have the time. And we may talk about that a little bit tonight. But there's so many things that that happen in society. And a lot of it goes back to, where are the men in society? If you look at history and, you know, at failures, because that's what I want to focus on, right, is where we have failed. Because do not get me wrong, women absolutely can lead. They can lead. They've done it. They are doing it. But they shouldn't have to. You know, that's the reality. I don't mean that in a anti-feminist way or anything like that. But, you know, the feminist movement kind of emasculated men, right? Because we stopped believing in our inner voice and our inner leadership. I'm not blaming it on the women, because ultimately at the end of the day, we have to take responsibility for ourselves. We can blame it on our wives. We can blame it on our mothers. We can say all kinds of things. You know, for a while, you know, I wanted to say, well, you know, my mother babied me too much whenever I was a kid. Well, that's, you know, that's not today, right? That was when I was a kid. I choose today. I choose today whenever I woke up this morning, I chose how today was going to go. When I wake up tomorrow morning, I will choose how tomorrow goes. And I've not always been the best about making each day the best that it can be. I have failed in that area. But I pray I can do better. And I pray that for each and every one of you. Because we need to do better. And it's the impact, the result of us not doing better. It shows. It is so showing. It's just really, really making an impact on society today. So before we go into all of that, I also wanted to make mention that on our website, on realamericanman.org, there will be a prayer request page that it's going to be put up later today. And once that goes up, I want you to feel free, whether you're able to listen into the show or not, to go on there and ask for prayer. And I'll put a section on there where you can request whether or not you're okay with me mentioning it on the show, on the live show. If you're not, then just put no, and I'll just keep it to myself, and I'll pray for you, and that will be good enough. But if you would like to share your trial, your tribulation, your testimony, whatever it is that we can be praying about for you or praising with you, I would like to be able to do that on the show. So just let me know if that's something that you'd be interested in doing by just going on there and submitting that form. And I, like I say, I'll put that up. I'll do it tomorrow. I will put up the prayer request tomorrow. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Before we do, I want to just make mention of a couple special prayer requests. One of those things is Ferguson, the city of Ferguson, we need to be praying for. We certainly need a impact of men, of real men, of real leaders, not people that want to raise their hand and go, look at me, people that want to cause divide, people that want to cause be the problem instead of the solution. Those are not the men that we need. Those are the men that seem to be mostly there, but those are not the men that we need. And so let's pray for peace for Ferguson and for law enforcement officers, for the public. I do not support over excessive force by law enforcement by no way, shape, form, or fashion, but I have been around police officers. I've been through a police academy. And let me tell you, the majority of the ones that I have met have been absolutely outstanding. And you certainly don't understand it from the side of the fence of as the victim, right? If you're the one getting pulled over because you were speeding, or you know, or because your brake light was out or something like that, and you feel like it was a little bit fishy or whatever else, it's hard to understand it from that perspective. But when you get into it, then you see it from a whole different light. And I can tell you that, like I say, I mean, whenever you understand it from a different perspective, it really does put a brand new light on it. I've always been a supporter of law enforcement, of military, of first responders. I'm so appreciative of what they do. Of course, I find it interesting that how many people were supporters of law enforcement on September 11th, 2001. There was a massive outpouring of support for our law enforcement officers, our firefighters, our EMS, our military across the country. But how quickly do we forget the sacrifices that they make, what they do day in and day out? We all remembered it on September 11, 2001, and I understand that, crazily enough, there's a whole new generation out there that doesn't quite even remember September 11, 2001, because that has been several years ago, almost 14 years ago. And so I understand that there's a whole new generation. But they need to be shown. They need to be taught that there was a day in this country where we did not know where to turn. And when we did not know where to turn as the average everyday citizen, it was law enforcement, it was firefighters, it was EMS that stood up, and military that answered that call and responded heroically, mightily, and in such a way that it humbled me. It truly humbled me. It made me so appreciative of being an American citizen and having the privilege to serve in my country once I got out of high school and was of age to be able to serve in my country. That was what I thought about. I thought about that day more than any day, and it is what drove me. And so we need to be appreciative. I'm not saying that it's okay for them to overuse their authority. Not at all. The majority of law enforcement officers that you talk to will not agree with that. They will not say that they expect to be able to overuse their authority. So let's pray for peace. Let's pray for peace, and let's pray for safety over our citizens, the public, and also over our first responders. Let's go to the Lord now. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you, and Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings. I want to thank you for the opportunity to do this show tonight. I thank you for the men that are listening in, Lord. I thank you for them. I pray for them as fathers, as husbands, as leaders in their workplace, in their community, whatever impact that they have an opportunity to have around them. May they see that tonight. May they realize that they have an opportunity to make a difference in their world, that if they're questioning their purpose tonight, Lord, may you make it clear and known to them. Lord, I pray that you would just watch over the first responders that are around and about in our country tonight. Lord, those that are away from their families, the military, we thank you so much for them, and Lord, we pray for them. I pray for our nation. I pray for peace. I pray, Lord, that the racial divide that is in our country tonight, Lord, that you would just calm that racial divide. Lord, may we see that there are people in this country who wish to promote that racial divide, and they are not a part of the solution, Lord. May we see men rise up that are a part of the solution. And, Father, I pray that men of all race, of all creed, origin, religion, Lord, that they are able to stand up and to be men. Lord, I pray that if anyone is listening to this show tonight, Lord, that they, if they do not know you as their personal Savior, if they've not asked you to be Lord of their lives, ask for forgiveness of their sins and given everything over to you, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict them tonight and that they would feel that tug on their heart, that, Lord, that they would know that there is a reason why they're listening to this show, whether it be live or archived or however they're listening, Lord, that there's a reason why they pressed play, and it was to hear this message right here, that God, that you love them so much that you died for them. Lord, may they see that you love them, that you love the world, and that you simply want to have a relationship with them. May you give them the strength to cast everything of their own wants and desires to the side and to give you leadership, lordship of their life. And Lord, I pray for this show tonight. I pray that lives would be changed. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. And Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, once again, guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. I want to kind of reserve that call-in for later on in the show, but we've not had any live callers yet. You know, we've not been doing this show for very long. So if you happen to be listening live, please call in. I would love to hear from you. You also can get on to Blog Talk Radio's website. I do have the chat function open, and you certainly can get on there and talk with me through there, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you may have or pray for a need for you or anything that may be going on. Once again, our main topic of conversation tonight that we're talking about is acting like men. And I guess one of the questions that I would ask, if you were to call in, is what are some of the ways that you see the definition of a man being destroyed in today's culture? You know, I think there's a lot of ways that that's happening. But whenever you look at the scriptures and you see 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, for example, from the King James Version, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." And as I shared with you earlier, you know, there are several different translations for that verse. And the whole, you know, the title of this broadcast is Act Like Men, and that's, I believe, the English Standard Version that says Act Like Men, where the King James uses Quit You Like Men. And there are a lot of different ways that I think that we have abandoned that. And this issue was happening here. In the very first thing that Paul talks about, let's start there. The very beginning of 1 Corinthians 16:13 is talking about being on the lookout, being watchful, right? And you know, this word watch is something that that we look for in Scripture. You know, there's a lot of places where it talks about watch, be vigilant. That's another way that it is used. And so, you know, the point is that if there's something to watch for, if you're told to watch, well, obviously you're going, okay, what am I watching for? Well, we know that Scripture also tells us that Satan is prowling around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. So who are we on the watch for? I would say that we're on the watch for the enemy. And I think that that's part of the problem, is that we convince ourselves that there is no enemy. There's a lot of people who believe in God but do not believe in the devil. They think that maybe the devil is just some sort of fairy tale. I guess wouldn't really call it a fairy tale, a scary story. But that it's just a story. There's nothing really real about it. But trust me on it, or you know, believe me if you will. Look into it for yourself. But I strongly believe that the devil is absolutely real. I mean, you look through Scripture just as much as you can't go through Scripture without hearing about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can't go through Scripture without hearing about the devil. And never that I see is the devil mentioned as this superficial character that doesn't really exist. Like, you know, I don't ever see the devil being used as an analogy or as an example, but he is real. I mean, he talks with God. He walks and talks with God in Job, and you know, and is having these conversations with God back and forth. And you know, we see him throughout Scripture, and no doubt about it, the devil is real. And so, whenever Paul says "watch," it's a true command. It is something that that is absolutely real. We absolutely 110% we need to be on the watch. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And so just as much as we should be in prayer, we should be watching in the exact same way as we pray, which is just fervently and continually, we need to be on the watch. We never need to be letting our guard down. That is so important that we do not let our guard down. And I think that's what we have done. We talked about a couple days ago about the little foxes that come in and destroy the vineyard out of Song of Solomon. You know, that is something that this is very comparable to. The little foxes, how do they come in? Because we let down our guard. We think, oh, I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine. I don't need any help with that. I'm good. I've got it under control. Whenever all the while we're falling apart. We are coming apart at the seams, and we cannot hold it together. One of the biggest realizations that we need to accept is that we cannot do this alone. I was having a conversation just the other day online. Horrible place to have a conversation with someone, but nevertheless, that's where I found myself. And this individual had an opinion that if you listen to the show, if you which he didn't specifically bring out this show, but he was talking about a man website. There is a website out there which I will promote and definitely mention to you, Art of Manliness. It's a great website. It has a lot of different things for men to look at to better themselves, to just neat little stories, and you know, and a lot of it is opinions, but a lot of it is also, you know, there are things that are backed up, and these are good, valid things that. And it's a topic of conversation. It gets us talking. But this one gentleman's opinion was that if you're looking at these things, if you're reading these things, that you that it's kind of, he almost made it like it was kind of shallow if you're doing that. Brothers, if we're not willing to accept that we could use some help in certain areas, then we're never going to get anywhere. We're never going to get anywhere if we let our pride get in the way. It is true when Scripture says pride comes before the fall. Because that's exactly what takes place. We believe, oh, I got it. I can take care of it. You know, we watch the movie 300 and we think, oh, I've got this. I am the man, right? I can kick that guy into the well just like old Gerard Butler did. But the reality of it is that we need help. And there's nothing wrong with accepting that we need some help. Nowhere in Scripture do you see this just, I mean, you look at even Jesus Christ. He had to be helped off from the cross. Did he have to be helped off? No. But he was helped off. Our ministry, whatever it is that we do as Christians, as believers, do we really think that that's required? Do we really think that God has to have us? No, he doesn't have to have us, but he wants us to be involved. And you look at the church. I mean, think of the setup of the church. He talks about the branches and the vine and how we've all got to be working together. Do we not think that this exists in manhood as well, and being a father and being a husband? In fathering our children, in being loving to our wives, in dealing with addictions such as pornography and alcoholism and just this frustration with who we are as men? Do we seriously think that we don't need any help with that? I beg to differ. I beg to differ that we could sit here and say that we do not need any help with that. If you're hearing me, if you agree with me, if you support what I'm saying, then go ahead and call in 323-642-1089. Hopefully you got a cell phone. That'll make it free for you, I'm pretty sure. I don't think we get charged long distance. 323-642-1089. Would love to hear from you. Would absolutely love to hear from you. So like we said, so watching, right? Watching is so important. And I, you know, and whenever it comes down to it, whenever you got 64% of men who admit to viewing, American men who admit to viewing pornography on a monthly basis, when you have 45 million viewers of pornography constantly, right? I mean, just when it's one of the top searched items on the internet, whenever it is pulling in a revenue service, okay, you know, porn is free. In a lot of ways. But this is actually a revenue-serving business. This means that men and even women are going to work. They are working hard, and they are coming home, and they are getting online, and they are purchasing porn. Whenever porn is out there for free, they are literally putting their credit card into the system, and they are buying pornography material. Why? I mean, how far have we gone that the free stuff isn't even good enough? And I'm not trying to advocate, you know, or say that, you know, why go buy it when you can have it for free? That's not necessarily what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying that when we start putting our money into it, it says something. Because, you know, if it's just free, right, and that's the extent that we go to it, it doesn't really show that we're committed to something, right? I mean, that's kind of the way it goes for anything, right? That's why they say put your money where your mouth is. Well, there's a lot of people who are putting their money where their mouth is in support of pornography. They're spending money on porn. It's a huge problem. Even amongst the religious side of it, you know, and obviously you know about the scandals in the Catholic Church with the scandals of the Catholic Church with the priest and the young boys and everything, you know, sexual immorality is rampant in the church. Well, do not even think for a second that it's not on the Protestant side as well, because I can assure you that there are pastors, that there are youth pastors, that there are family pastors and music pastors and all kinds of people that are on the religious spectrum as well. There's men right down here at seminary who are looking at porn, who are struggling with this. I can tell you this because I've been there. I'm not pointing the finger and judging. I'm saying I am you. I've been a part of it. I know what it feels like to struggle with this. It is a struggle. And the biggest mistake that we make is we say, oh, I can handle it. I'm fine on my own. And on the ministry side, we're afraid of judgment. Even if you're not in ministry, if you're a Christian, we don't know how to talk about it because I'm a Christian now. I shouldn't be doing this. Well, brother, let me break you free from that thought right now, here tonight. You're not the only one. I struggle with pornography. There, my hand's raised. If you could see me now, my hand is in the air. This is not a problem that you're just dealing with. If you're struggling with alcohol, it's not a problem that you're just dealing with. If you're struggling with your weight, with treating your body right, with whether it be cutting or drugs or, I'm telling you, you're not the only one. And that's the biggest lie of Satan that there is he makes us think, you're fine, you're okay, you can do this. You don't have to be watchful. You don't have to look out. You're fine. You've got this under control. You could quit anytime you want to. It's the biggest lie of the devil. It's the biggest lie. Can you quit? Can you overcome this? Absolutely. Don't you think for a second that you can. But can you do it by yourself? Go ahead and try, brother. Go ahead and try. Be my guest, but let me tell you something. God has given you an out. He said, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why do we try to carry this? Why? Because we're ashamed? Be ashamed. I mean, fine. If you want to be ashamed, be ashamed. But don't be ashamed because you think you're the only one. I'm married and I've got two kids. So, you know, so why can't it happen to someone else? Well, you know, I can't have it happen to me. I'm married and I've got four kids. I can guarantee you there's somebody else out there married and got four kids who's having the exact same struggle as you. Maybe not the exact same story. You know, maybe he's not listening to the exact same stuff you are, watching the exact same stuff you are, but I guarantee you that as men that we struggle with a lot of the same things, and our pride keeps getting in the way. Just like that guy I was talking to on the internet who had this misguided opinion that if he sought help, that showed some kind of a weakness. I don't understand that. And it's going to cause the failure, the ultimate failure of manhood as a whole. We cannot sit here and think that we've got it all together. God did not put us on this earth to follow after him all by our lonesome. He didn't do it that way. Moses had Aaron, right? I mean, he didn't do it by himself. Jesus got these disciples together and got, you know, he could have just went to the cross on his own. He could have created that whole entire system all by itself, but he went and got disciples. And he didn't go to the seminary to get the disciples, okay? He did not go there. He went and got the tax collectors and the fishermen and, you know, and he got these men who were just men, just regular Joe Schmoes. That's who he went and got. He didn't want to go get the Pharisees. He wanted to just go get the regular guys. So regular guys that are listening in tonight, if you're a regular guy, Jesus wants you. He wants you to stand up. And you're worried about your sins and your failures? Brother, let me tell you. Paul says, I'm the worst. And I'll go ahead and say it with him too. I'm the worst. You think you're a sinner? Brother, I got you topped. We want to sit down and count it all. Let's sit down and count it all. But the point is that we're all sinners. We've all failed. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But I'm so thankful for God. I'm so thankful for his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he's given us a way out. He said, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you burdened tonight? Do you have a burden? Have you not been watching? Has the enemy got you tied up? He came into your house. I know how it feels. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you, brother. He came into your house, didn't he? You let him in because you weren't paying attention. You thought it was just something simple. You thought it was just, you know, I can handle this. It's okay. This guy looks kind of scrawny. I can take him on. It's not a big deal. That porn, I can handle this. I'm going to be fine. I don't need to talk to anybody. I don't need to go and get help. I don't need to pray about this. I don't need to share this with my brothers in Christ. I don't need to call into this radio show right now and talk about this because I've got this. I've got it. I don't even have to bring this up to God. I've got it. And you let him into your house, didn't you? I've let him into mine. I know how it feels. And he's got you tied up, doesn't he? Because he came and he found the man. Because he knows the purpose of the man in the home. Don't you think for a second that the devil doesn't know what he's doing? Because he knows what he's doing. You notice that it compares him to a lion, okay? A lion is smart. A lion knows what he's doing. And he's going to seek whom he may devour. He's going to find him. He's gonna use those big old nostrils of his, and he's going to find his prey. He's going to find it. And when he does, he's going to devour it. and he's got you tied up right now. And you're home. You don't know who's running it. Right? We don't have a clue who's running it. But we're not at the helm. We're not a part of it at all. We're not leading in our home, and we're failing. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. So we need to be watchful. We need to be on our guard. And then the next thing it talks about is standing firm. Stand your ground. Right? And this is, you know, this has to do with principle in my mind. You know what I mean? This is principle. This is, you know, my son, you know, he needs to understand what it is to be a man. He needs to respect his mother. He needs to understand that he doesn't need to be disrespectful to elders, starting with his parents, with his mother and his father, with myself and my wife. He needs to be respectful. He needs to be respectful of his grandparents. He needs to be respectful of guests and friends and all of this. And don't let anybody remove that from you. In today's society, it's not acceptable, and we want to coddle our men, our boys. We want to coddle them and dry their tears and wipe their boo-boos off. And I'm not saying don't take care of them, but I'm just saying that we need to raise up men. And whenever we forget that we have a responsibility, that boy, that son of ours, that he's going to become how we raise him. He's going to become like we are. If we're checked out, then guess what he's going to do? He's going to check out. Now, I'm not giving him an excuse. I'm not giving him a way out. He can be a better man than you. Don't get me wrong. My son can be a better man than I am. But let's not give him a reason. Let's stand up. Let's stand our ground. Our wives, man, I could do a better job. I could do such a better job. And I'm praying on a daily basis right now. You know, God has really been moving in my heart and in my life with my marriage and with my fatherhood. I haven't gotten, in no way, shape, form, or fashion do I have it all together. I do not have it all together. But God has convicted me, and I want to share it with you, and I want you to hear it, because maybe God wants to convict you that we could be doing a better job. Let's just start there. We could be doing a better job. Is it true or is it not? I know that I could be. I could absolutely, 150%, be doing a better job as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a friend. There are so many areas in my life that I could be doing a better job at. I'm not trying to create a pity party here or anything like that. I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me, because I've created this, right? And that's you know, stand firm, stand your ground, accept responsibility. As a part of that whole thing, being watchful. Let's just accept that we've not been watchful. Let's take responsibility for the fact that we've not been watchful, that we've not been standing our ground. But let's not accept defeat. Because the next part is act like men. Act like men. How much do you think that Adam probably just wanted to give up after God came down and chastised him? Just think about that for a second. How much do you think he wanted to give up? How much do you think that Paul probably wanted to give up when he realized that the ones that he had been persecuting was the God that he was serving, or that he thought he was serving? How much do you think Paul probably just wanted to just throw his hands up in the air and say, man, I've done really royally screwed up. I'm done. How much do you think that David probably just wanted to say, wow. I mean, when Nathan said to him, you are that man, I can't even imagine how much that pierced through to his heart. But acting like a man means taking that problem, that mistake, and moving forward. So what? You've let yourself get to this point. This is in our past. We're talking this moment forward, okay? This moment today. Today is today is today. Tomorrow will be a new day. And while tears may be tonight, joy will come in the morning. We've got to look at tomorrow as a new day. Stand firm. Stand your ground. Act like men. Be men. We need to be men. And this is this we need this vigor inside of us. Whenever Song of Solomon, whenever the woman in that story, whenever she's talking about her man, Right? She says, he holds this banner over me, and his banner over me is love. I mean, just imagine a banner for, you know, I mean, you're going everywhere, and to speak of that figuratively, it would be that, you know, you walk into a place, and it's no question about it. Everybody in that room, they know that that woman, that lady right there, that she is you're in love with her. You are madly in love with her. There's no question about it. You pull the chair out for her. You open the door for her. You take care of her. And there's no mistaking about it that you love her. And parents, it says, do not provoke your children. Don't provoke your children. Don't turn them over to wrath. Don't get them angry. Don't be angry at them. Right? We shouldn't be responding in anger to our children. We need to parent our children. We need to father our children. We've got young ladies who are going to junior high and high school with this thought of a man that is just checked out. He goes to work, he makes his money, he comes home, and he sits there and watches the football game, and he goes to bed. And there's no parenting. There's no understanding of what is a man supposed to look like. And so these women are, these young ladies, they're going to school, and they're seeing these boys who are being coddled by their mothers and by their grandmothers and by their sisters, and that's what they're seeing, and they're seeing this man at home who's supposed to be their dad, who's supposed to be a father, and they're not teaching them anything. They're not showing them what a man is supposed to be like, so they got no clue. They've got no standard. And that's all there is to it. And that's all there is. And this is what's happening. We've got to be strong. And then the very last thing, do everything in love. Everything that we do, we need to be doing in love. How we parent our children, how we are with our wives, how we are at our work, with our friends, with our coworkers, with our neighbors, with our enemies. And everything that we do, we need to do it in love. Brothers, I'm telling you right now, and we've just got a little over, just a little under 8 minutes left in the show. Guest calling number 323-642-1089. Guest calling number 323-642-1089. We'd love to hear from you. This is the moment to be calling in. We've just got a little under 8 minutes left on the show. We'd love to hear from you. I'm going to keep talking for just a few minutes to finish off this topic, but please call in. And I'll be drawing this to a close, and we'll be hoping to hear from someone shortly. I hope that you're listening in. If not, it will be archived, and I hope that you've gotten something out of the show. This is just something that, you know, when I heard this scripture, and all the way from the beginning of, you know, be watchful, being watchful, being on guard, all the way to the end of the verse with do everything in love, you know, everything that you do must be done in love. How powerful is that? I mean, just think about that. And in the middle, you know, act like men. Because, and you know, and when you compare that, act like men with do everything in love, that's not society's, world's view of what a man is, right? A man needs to be rough and tough. There's a local radio show that does a dating call-in where they've gone and they've had a date, and the guy doesn't call her back, or vice versa, the girl doesn't call him back. And I've heard multiple times on that show where the woman is saying that they are upset because the guy was too nice. He was too loving. He opened the door for me. He pulled up the chair for me, and I'm just not into those nice guys. You know, to each his own, I guess, but that is what a man should be doing. A man should be loving his wife. But when women are being raised by these men who are tough and gruff and, you know, and I'm not, you know, woman, you can fix your own plate. Woman, do this. Woman, do that. Woman, fix my, you know, my supper. Woman, do my laundry. You know, when there's not this team effort going on in the home, it can really mess a person up. It really gives this misunderstanding of exactly what we should be doing. What should we be doing as men? That, you know, that's the question. How do we act like men? How do we act like men? And more importantly, how do we act like Christian men? I mean, if you've accepted Christ, then how do we act like Christian men? Because that's really what we need in today's society, is we need more Christian men. We really do. If you're listening in tonight, and please call in, guest call in number 323-642-1089. Guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. The topic of conversation, Act Like Men. The question of the hour is how has society destroyed what a man is? So please call in if you're listening live. And we'd love to hear from you, or you can get on the chat room and talk to us there as well. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Once again, Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I absolutely love that verse, because it starts off with such a depressing statement. For the wages of sin is death, right? The wages of sin is death. And if you look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23, you see there's not a whole lot of ways out of that. Because Romans 3:23 states, and we all know this to be true, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if we go back to Romans 6:23 and we read again, the fact of the matter is, for the wages of sin is death. And you look at society, the wages of sin is death. It destroys everything within us. It destroys our homes. It destroys our marriages. It destroys our workplaces. It destroys a country. Sin creates death. So if for the wages of sin is death and everyone has sinned, then what are we to do about this? Well, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The gift of God. The gift. You don't have to do anything for it tonight. You don't have to do a single thing. There's no work that you could do to earn salvation, but there is someone who has earned it for you, and that man is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins so that you could be free. I talked in the middle of the show about cast your burden on him. Cast those that are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. Do you need rest tonight? Do you need rest? Are you not at peace with your life, with the sins that are in your life, with the things that are going on in your life? Do you need to accept Christ? Do you not have a relationship with him? There is no better time than now. Scripture tells us today is the day of salvation. There is no need to wait. You could go to sleep tonight and you could not wake up again. This is a reality for all of us. Do you know where you are going to go? If you were to die tonight, where would you go? Secure your salvation. There is nothing to lose. There is no risk involved. But there's a whole lot to gain. There's absolutely a whole lot to gain. I say no risk involved. There is risk in the Christian life. Don't get me wrong. You accept Christ, it doesn't mean that you'll have no problems at all, that you'll have no failures, that you'll have nothing go wrong in your life, that you won't have financial difficulties. Oh, you'll still have financial difficulties. You'll still struggle with sin. You'll still have marital problems. You'll still struggle with health. You'll still have health problems. You'll still have all kinds of issues, but you'll have Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. If you think right now, well, what good is that going to do me? A lot. A lot of good. Christ has done me a lot of good over the years. A lot of good. I do appreciate you listening to the show tonight. I hope that you enjoyed it. Not really able to see if there's been any live listeners tonight. Certainly hope there has been. If you're a little bit shy to call in, I understand. We've got a little bit of little bit over a minute left in the show. Guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Not a whole lot of time left to call in. But just for future reference, that's always the number. That's always the guest calling number. So if you want to save that on your phone for next time, I will be scheduling a show for later on in the week. I'll be putting that on to the Facebook page, facebook.com/realamericanman, facebook.com/realamericanman. I'll be putting that on the Facebook page, the next show that we'll be doing. That will be later on in this week. I do appreciate you listening. Once again, I hope that you got something out of it. Certainly do hope that you have a wonderful beginning to part to your week. Hope your Monday was okay, and I'll be praying for you and your needs. Once again, as a reminder, facebook.com/realamericanman. You can also visit us on the web at realamericanman.org. That's www.realamericanman.org. Thank you so much for listening. Have a blessed week, and we will talk to you later. This is Billy Crocker, Real American Man, on Blog Talk Radio.